Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the Living A Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class.
All right. Here we go. Hey, Colin, are you still there?
I am.
Good. I'm always glad when the technology works. And sometimes you know how it is. It can be a bit wacky-do. And it's I always say it's so interesting how much technology we have to learn in order to do our work as a spiritual teacher. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. It doesn't always work right.
No, it doesn't always cooperate. It gives us an opportunity to practice radical patience.
Yes, that's so. That's my comic lesson is patience, for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, always in a hurry, always wanting to get things moving.
Yeah, I know that feeling. Oh, my gosh. Well, listen, as people are coming on the line and we're getting ready to start, I would love to ask you. I know you've got a bunch of things coming up. So where could people participate with you? Anything live and in person?
We've just finished this year's events with a retreat in Switzerland for 7 days, and then another workshop in Kiev in Ukraine and a 10-day training in Kiev. But that's it for this year. I'm working on a load of writing stuff. I'm still in England, as you know, but intend to be back in the States at the end of November around Thanksgiving time. And then we've got a whole slew of things on our events calendar for 2017. Starting in January and something every month, and lots of little bits and pieces in between, and some webinars and all that kind of good stuff. It's next year now.
And are you having retreats, events that people can come see you at? Because I know how much people love to do the in-person work, and also. I will probably talk about this in the class, but even now, just to let people know as they're listening to you up front that you have some really wonderful trainings. In fact, I just met someone in Germany who had been through one of your trainings and loved it. So because people get so inspired to do this work and to help others, and people who are life coaches want to add what you have to their list of skills and coaching people, and you have not just got the forgiveness training, but you have other trainings as well.
Right. So we actually have a program, I guess you would call an overarching program, which we call Radical Living, which includes radical forgiveness, and radical forgiveness being, of course, the major philosophical grounding for all of them. But we also do include in that radical manifestation, radical transformation, which actually we're going to talk about tonight, I think, on the call itself.
Yeah.
and radical self-forgiveness, radical self-acceptance, and all that good stuff. So really, it's more about it actually, radical forgiveness has evolved from being simply, being a healing modality from way back when I realized how powerful this stuff was to help people heal the past. It's evolved into something now which is much more about a way of living, a way of life. That's why we've sort of developed this umbrella called Radical Living. It's all about living consciously, living with awareness, and living in a way that supports the planet as well as each other. So it's evolving, constantly evolving. And the training that I think you're referring to, we've got one coming up in January, which is a 10-day training for people who want to become Radical Living Master Coaches. So it's a combination of the two trainings that we've been doing online, which is the Radical Living Coach and then the Radical Living Master Coach. But I decided just in the last couple of years that a lot of people really want to do it with me and live as opposed to doing it online. So we started doing that now and just done that in Ukraine. We did 16 people in Ukraine. We did 30 people in Russia last year and 32 the year before and 32, I think it was, in Peru. So we've got that coming up in January for those people who really want to make a career, whether part-time or full-time. That's coming up January the 27th and 29th in Atlanta.
Yeah, that's so great. I'm all about supporting the light workers, really stepping up and out, living their passion and being truly helpful in the world. And I know your trainings are life-changing for those people. And then when we help the people who are helping the people, it just keeps rippling and rippling and rippling.
Right. Well, you do a lot of practical, experiential stuff too, don't you? I mean, I'm always seeing you out there doing retreats and wonderful vacations.
It's true.
Thailand.
Yes.
I'm getting ready
to go to Thailand.
No, I think spirituality has to be made practical, and it has to be made so that people can integrate it into their everyday life, and that's what I'm all about.
Exactly. It's without that, it's really not worth our time and energy, because that's where the changes happen, that's where the healings happen, and that's where the love is. So in that practical application, and so one of the things that a lot of people are moving out of just reading books and taking classes and into the action, and hey, that's our theme this time. So I say, looking at the clock, that it's a perfect time for us to get started.
Okay. Let's do it.
So, let's do it. I'm just going to take a pause here for a moment. Welcome to Living A Course in Miracles. I'm Jennifer Hadley, your host, and I am so glad to be here. Our theme for this entire series is Time to Rise and Shine, Taking Spiritual Action. And so, as you know, we're all about, we do the inner work, and that's how we change the world. We change our mind about the world, and then the world has to change. So we have, today we have Colin Tipping, and Colin is one of my favorite teachers. We always have a good time together. We've done many classes together. He's been a guest on my radio show many times. He is a prolific writer and probably best known for his beautiful book, Radical Forgiveness, which is a great tool for anyone, particularly who is interested in living A Course in Miracles. Forgiveness is our function for Course in Miracles students, and Radical Forgiveness is an excellent, excellent book. And Colin has a lot of resources. We're going to talk about that as well today. He's very practical. He's very inspiring. And he teaches the teachers. He's just a treasure. And I'm so glad. Thank you for joining us today, Colin.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It always is fun working with you, Jennifer. So I always say yes.
I know you do. It's great. I really appreciate that. And so I'm going to start us off here with a prayer, and then we'll jump into our topic of radical transformation inside and outside. So
okay.
I invite everyone to join us and take a breath. We move into our heart. Just step out of time and space and into our heart. Placing my hand on my heart, I am grateful and thankful to wholeheartedly say yes to love, to radical transformation inside and out. So grateful to consciously partner up with the higher Holy Spirit itself for the purpose of remembering our true identity, remembering that we're already as holy can be. We're already perfect, whole, and complete. We are grateful to join together to remember the truth that sets us free. We are grateful and thankful to open our hearts and to recognize that everything we need to have transformation and to be a transformational presence in this world has already been pre-installed in our heart. So we're grateful and thankful to join together for the purpose of revealing our magnificence, revealing the love that we already are. Love is the healer, and it heals everything in this world that seems incongruent with love. So we take a stand for our loving heart, sharing the benefits with everyone because we're one with them. In gratitude, we let it be, and so it is. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
So, you know, I'm going to ask you first, Colin, this is the question that Spirit's giving me, to ask you first to give an example of how you did inside transformation and you saw a demonstration, or we could say a miraculous demonstration in the world that maybe even surprised you.
You mean an event from the on the outside, do you mean?
Yeah, so something, you had a shift inside and you had a radical transformation on the outside as well.
Well, that's a difficult one to spot, really, because there's so many things that are not always, shall I say, dramatic. There are lots of stories that that people tell me in their lives or that I have in my life, too, that on the face of it are not dramatically huge stories that would have a tremendous wow factor. But when you put them all together, they accumulate in such a way as to, over a period of time, at least that's how it is, has been my case, that over a period of time, that these stories or these events, these instances of transformation from both within myself and observed on the outside have changed me almost imperceptibly, and yet they are massively transformational, not just for myself over this period of time, but for people that I've worked with, people that I love, people that my own family, that this work of living consciously and being willing to show up in the world in a practical way, demonstrating spiritual principles, I think has been, that's it, what it's been like for me. It's been more like a very gradual change over a long period of time. I never came to this out of, some great epiphany or huge experience or anything like that. I always say it kind of crept up on me. It found me, in other words. Radical forgiveness sort of came upon me and I had no expectation of it whatsoever. I didn't even recognize it at first. It just, you know, what is this? And now that I really look back over the years, it was about 20 years ago that I guess this all started for me, that it was just given me. It was something that that got downloaded quite unexpectedly. And it was quite some time before I realized what it was, even, that it was something that would have an effect on the world that I could never have imagined that it could. Because I had no religious background, hardly any spiritual background. I was sort of searching, but I had nothing to sort of grasp onto at that time. And I was in my 50s at this point, too. I mean, you know, it didn't come to me early. Somehow I knew that there was a book to be written and that I was supposed to write it, and I didn't really know what it was. I knew that.
Well, I remember you telling me that you and your wife bet the house on it, literally.
Oh, absolutely, we did. Yeah. So it actually started out not as a book, but as the worksheets that I now think are so critical. The tools that we use, the resources that we give people to make this thing work for them, came a long time before the book. And I created these worksheets as a sort of a way for people to sort of, you know, put their ideas together about spiritual reality and so on, not really understanding it a lot myself. But I thought to myself that one day I'll write a book explaining how to do these worksheets and give some instructions. And that's really how the book was conceived. But I didn't write it until probably 15 years later, and looking back, it wouldn't have gone anywhere had I written it when I first thought about it. But I always made up an excuse saying I haven't got enough money or enough time to write this book. But when the time was right, Spirit nudged me and I just sat down and wrote it. So that's how it sort of crept up on me. It's amazing, really. And I'm still surprised. I'm still amazed at what happens when we give this to people and how people relate to it in a way that's just totally transformational. It changes so many people's lives in ways that are unimaginable. I have thousands of emails that people tell me how it's changed them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No big story, really, but...
Your radical forgiveness worksheet helps so many people to do that practical application of forgiveness.
Yeah.
And one of the things we said we would talk about today is your radical transformation worksheet.
Right.
So let's lay the ground. People I've been talking to so many people about the election, about terrorism in the world, fears of disease outbreak, all kinds of things that people are fearing and upset by in the world. And these are actual things that we're experiencing. They're not small in the sense. They are very intense.
Yeah.
And people are extremely distressed sometimes. And it's like their spiritual practice goes out the window.
Right. Right. Well, how it came about for me was, you know, it's a slow progression. As I say, you know, radical forgiveness has evolved. Showing people how radical forgiveness can change their own lives has proven to be fairly easy, because once you have somebody do these worksheets, they say, oh, my God, I feel different, and everything has changed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not hard to convince people to help heal the past and, you know, let go of the pain of a divorce or whatever it happens to be that's troubling them, and for them to be able to see it from a more spiritual perspective. That hasn't proven to be so difficult as trying to have people see the perfection in the kind of things that you have just described. They say, yeah, but how can that be perfect? How could Spirit want us to have these experiences, such as ISIS cutting people's heads off and, you know, the horrible war that's going on in the world and so on? How can that be reframed in such a way as to change it for myself for a start off, and then to change the world as a consequence of one's seeing it differently, and so on. So this has been much more difficult to teach people. So I came up with a worksheet that I call Radical Transformation Worksheet, because, as you know, because we've talked about it so many times, the importance of these worksheets, because they are the key to activating what I call spiritual intelligence. Mental intelligence is pretty useless when it comes to looking at the world through a spiritual lens. Emotional intelligence, which is the intelligence of the heart, gives us a way of entering in the world and looking at the world, or feeling our responses to the world. But spiritual intelligence is the real knowledge of how things really are at the spiritual level. So these worksheets really activate this part of our psyche called the spiritual intelligence. So having proven that the others have worked well, the radical forgiveness, the radical self-forgiveness, the radical self-acceptance, all of those, radical manifestation too even, I thought, well, I need a worksheet to help people apply the strategy of radical forgiveness to world events that are extremely upsetting and very difficult to reframe in any sort of spiritual, with any sort of spiritual perspective. And that's what I sent over to you the other day for us to have a look at and maybe discuss on this program. But if I may just back up a little bit and say that, you know, this idea of spiritual people taking action in the world is quite controversial. I mean, we have a list of about, I don't know, 30,000 people. And, you know, I try to blog fairly frequently. And if ever I do a blog about what's going on in the world and make comment on it, I get lots of emails saying, why are you talking about the world? This is, spiritual people shouldn't take any notice of politics and shouldn't have a position on anything like that. So that's one of the things that a lot of spiritual people feel, that if we're spiritual, we shouldn't get involved in the real world, and we shouldn't take a position on anything, we shouldn't do anything to change it, and so on and so forth. And so that's a hard one to really mediate, because it's true at one level, but it's not true at another. And my take on it is that the most spiritual people in the world are those that are most human, and that have an ability to influence how we human beings behave and become inspired by them. So for us to be spiritual, I think we have to live in two worlds at the same time. We have to live in the human world and be the best human person we can be, and yet we have to also simultaneously live in the spiritual world, because that's the truth. And if we can hold those two positions at the same time psychically, then we are 20 times, 100 times more powerful than somebody who is either just spiritual or somebody who is just human, or humanistic, or practical, whatever you want to call that. So we are, in fact, required to be bipolar in the sense that we have to be human on the one hand and live in this human world, as well as spiritual, living in the spiritual world, and putting those two things together is really where the power is. That's my opinion, yes. Anyway. So,
you know,
I take positions, and I have points of view about what's going on in the world, and I have an urge to take some action over certain things, as well as knowing at the back of my mind that what's going on out there is absolutely holy, and is what's supposed to happen. The way it's happening right now is exactly what is supposed to happen for reasons that are beyond us at this point in time. So, where were we?
I think it's so important what you're talking about, because certainly I experienced the same thing comments from people. And A Course in Miracles, and I recognize you're not A Course in Miracles student per se,
right.
But you've participated in many of these Living A Course in Miracles classes, been on the radio show a number of times because you're so much in alignment with the Course, and your
right.
teachings on forgiveness help us all to live the Course.
Mm.
And you might find it interesting, Colin, that in the Course it says, and it's Jesus speaking, as you know, and he says, in time, so in the experience of time and space, in time we exist for and with each other. In timelessness, we coexist with God.
Right.
You can do much on behalf of your own healing and that of others if, in a situation calling for help, you think of it this way. And so this is the prayer, and it's called the purpose prayer.
Uh-huh.
And it's, I am here only to be truly helpful. I am here to represent him who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do because he who sent me will direct me.
Yeah.
I am content to be wherever he wishes, knowing he goes there with me, and I will be healed as I let him teach me to heal.
Yeah.
And then a little bit later in the next section, he says that constructive acts are involuntary. So we're so in tune with spirit that we can take constructive action following divine guidance and inspiration. And so it's essential that we are following divine guidance and inspiration when we're taking action in the world, and it's part of our curriculum to learn and grow through taking loving action in this world. It's a wonderful way to express spirit and to be in tune with spirit. It's not about just sitting in a cave somewhere.
Exactly. And the way I look at it is, you know, that when certain things happen in the world that are really upsetting, our first duty is to, you know, just to hold on to the idea that there is divine guidance going on at every level here, and that if any action I take, I simply ask to be guided in that action.
Yes.
And then that action becomes more powerful because it comes from a place of total surrender to what is.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if we want to change something because we think it's wrong, we're already out of alignment with spirit. If we
mm-hmm.
want things to change in a way that would improve people's lives, we first of all have to accept it as is, and then it changes because that's when we bring the love vibration into the situation, and love changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
So the two things, though, go together. That's what I tried to do for people in this worksheet.
And being able to practice it again and again and again, then we really are changing our life, because for me, in my personal experience, there's a feeling that I have when I know I'm in the flow of love and taking
yeah.
inspired action. And
yeah.
the more we do it, the more you recognize that. And more importantly, you recognize when you're not in the flow of love.
Right, exactly.
So
yeah.
that if you're not feeling in the flow of love, you're not feeling divinely guided and directed, you can take a step back, pause,
mm-hmm.
recalibrate.
Right. I agree.
Mm-hmm. And so where people are, I talk to people, as I'm sure you do, who are really, really upset about the election.
Yeah.
Or really, really upset about terrorist acts that are going on. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to be upset, and yet that doesn't help anyone.
Right.
To just let the upset go unchecked. So it's critical that we feel how we feel, that we allow ourselves to have the experience of feeling our feelings and not do a spiritual bypass. So we don't ignore our feelings
exactly.
or bypass them.
Yeah, I mean, I use that term all the time, you know, when spiritual people just want to, you know, gloss over something and say, well, you know, it's just God's will and what have you, that they're not really authentic. And so I have, you know, with all of the worksheets, all the tools that I have, they all follow those five steps or five stages, as I call them. And you always need to begin with where you're at this moment. So whatever is happening that you're upset about, you need to be able to feel it, you know, register it, look at it, see it for what it is at the human level, feel the pain associated with it, and only then can you really seek to transform it by changing your mind about it. But it's always necessary, I think anyway, to really confront what is going on in your life or what is going on out there in the world and feel the pain of it, because in that pain is probably the lesson for us, because it's the transformation of that pain into loving acceptance that really is the transformation.
Yeah, of course, the miracle says pain is a wrong perspective. When we're identified with being separate from God, helpless, small, lacking in limitation, then we're going to experience some kind of pain. And our emotions, are, of course, can be very painful. And they wake us up to when it's time for us to course correct, to examine our thinking and change it.
We have to be careful, though, not to make pain wrong or feeling pain as being wrong. One of the things that I have a belief in, or an assumption anyway, I never use the term belief, by the way. It locks you up into some sort of a box. I always use the word assumption. My assumption is that the human experience that we came in to have is essentially a feeling experience. So that we can, unless we feel the pain and accept it for what it is, how can we transform it if we're not starting from that place? So, the feeling experience that we have as a result of this human journey that we're taking, the purpose of it is to transform that into the feeling of love. Because without it being an emotion, then love is just an idea. And so I believe that the human experience is essentially a feeling experience and a thinking experience secondary.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always encouraging people to go into their feelings and to feel them fully with as little judgment about them as possible, and in the sense that there is no such thing as a negative feeling, that it's just a feeling. And it's attached to an idea, because an emotion is a thought attached to an idea, a feeling attached to an idea, I'm sorry. But it's there to be felt, and then once we felt it, then we can transform it.
So we've got some perfect situations happening in the world right now where, for instance, there are a lot of people that literally hate the two candidates for two main candidates mm-hmm. for president. They hate them. They're literally filled with hatred for them and fear and disgust and all kinds of things like that. Yeah. And honestly, I have to say that I kind of feel like I'd like to put one of those bumper stickers on my car that says somebody else for president. It is what it is. And everything works together for good. There are no exceptions, according to A Course in Miracles. So I stand by that and live by that. But for people who are feeling this real intense emotion, using your worksheet, how do they break it down and move through that?
Well, let's look at it this way. One of the things I always tell people, you always know when spirit is working its magic, when what you're seeing out there is so darned odd that you can't make sense of it, that it makes absolutely no sense, that those two people having a mud wrestling match in lieu of an election are trying to show us something. They're trying to teach us something. And the hatred that we're feeling is a projection of our own consciousness onto those two people, because they are providing the mirrors for us all. And every judgment we make about Donald Trump or Hillary is simply a projection of our own self-hatred. And that's really the service that they're providing for us, is in so many different ways, mirroring for us what it is that we hate about ourselves and what we support in the political system. Because most of what we are reacting to, especially to Mr. Trump, is the most base feelings and prejudices and emotions that we all have. And it's no good saying, well, I don't have them. We all have them to some degree or another. And those two people are giving us a wonderful opportunity to heal our misperceptions about who we are and what we stand for. Just as in the same way that people like Hitler, Stalin, Milosevic, they're all in what I call healing angels, in the sense that they've been recruited by the human consciousness to provide the mirror that we need to confront, representing what we hate in ourselves as a human race, so that we can transform it. And it's not until we accept these people as they are that we heal ourselves. So I hate, you know, I'm just as mad about everything I see on television when I watch the debates, even though I only saw this most recent one over here in England. But at the same time, I'm trying to look at them and saying to myself, there's a couple of healing angels there, because otherwise, why would Spirit have allowed them to come this far?
Right.
It's beyond comprehension that somebody like Donald Trump could be standing up there and saying, you know, and being supported to be the most powerful man in the whole world with his finger on the nuclear trigger and everything else. And yet that's what's happening. So there has to be a reason for it. That's the way I look at it, you know. There has to be a reason that Spirit has put these two people there for us, for a purpose, to maybe to not just for ourselves, but to then break down the system that we have in our political system, to break it down, because it's a sham, just like our own ego is a sham.
Right.
So what I'm seeing out in the world right now is lots of instances where what is being manifested from our own consciousness, because whatever shows up out there is our consciousness reflected, is presenting us with a huge opportunity to shift our consciousness in the direction of love, if only we'd see it that way, and to let go of our need to project our hatred onto them.
So I so appreciate what you're sharing. I think this is so helpful to talk about this. So let's say somebody is listening and they think, well, you know, I hate this one because they're a liar. I hate this one because they're a billionaire and they're not paying any taxes and I have to pay taxes. And they want to raise my taxes and lower the taxes on the rich. That's insane. And I hate them for it. Let's say... And so then the person is thinking, well, how is that my self-hatred? I'm not a liar, and I'm not a billionaire trying to starve the poor people.
See, for people to be mirrors for millions and millions of people, they've got to be extreme. And because those parts of us that do tell lies occasionally, and who doesn't, or those parts of us who envy those who have more than we do, or those parts of us that manipulate other people out of selfish concerns, may only be small parts of our ego and our shadow, but they're there nevertheless. And it takes somebody like them to really shout back at us and say, look at yourself. If this upsets you, it's yours. I have a saying, if you spot it, you got it. Whatever is upsetting you about this person, or especially these two politicians, it's yours. And mm-hmm. If only you could own it and say, thank you for showing that to me. Doesn't mean to say you have to like them. It doesn't mean to say you have to vote
right.
for them. And it would be a good idea if someone else came along and shoved them both out of the limelight.
Lord.
Yeah, it would be. But that's not the point. The real point for us and what we have to get over to people is that this is spirit working its magic in providing us with opportunities to heal our misperceptions about who we are. And these people mm-hmm. are simply reflecting our consciousness, albeit in appearing to be extreme, but only insofar as it resonates our shadow to the point where we get upset enough to begin the thinking about transforming it.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, that was my computer doing giving me a... Okay. So that's my soapbox about them. It's going to be very interesting to see how it all plays out at the human level and at the spiritual level, because there's huge opportunity, I think, here for this to provoke a shift in consciousness if only we would wake up to the fact.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it does require us taking the spiritual action of doing this transformation inside. It's the only way that real change is going to happen is if we change our minds, because what we're seeing is a projection of our, as you're saying, the disowned stuff.
Yeah.
Now, for people who it's so disowned, it's hidden, we're not aware of it at all. Do you have something to offer people of how to bring it to the light of their awareness?
Really, that's what the Radical Forgiveness Worksheet does. That's really the whole point of the exercise is to bring people to a place of, first of all, accepting that they're upset about something or they feel victimized by something, and to feel the feelings of that, and to be willing to feel the feelings and to recognize that those feelings are a reflection of how they actually see the situation, albeit a misperception. And then to come down to the realization that there is another way of looking at this, and that what is occurring out there is a reflection of what we have disowned, denied, and repressed, and then projected onto these people who are providing an opportunity for us to heal that part of our shadow which we have up to now been unable to accept, especially because it's unconscious. We don't even know it's there half the time. So if we take it as a principle that if you spot it, you got it, and that's an opportunity for you to love and accept that part of yourself, even though you can't actually see it necessarily, because oftentimes it's symbolic or it's several times removed from the obvious, if we can see this as an opportunity for us to heal that, then immediately that the person that has been doing that mirroring for you is forgiven, and you are forgiven yourself at the same time, automatically. It just happens
yes.
that way. And then the magic, and this is always the proof of the pudding, is that the situation that caused you to feel victimized in the first place usually just simply dissolves and goes away because the purpose has been served now, that the transformation has happened automatically, so there's no need now for that situation to continue because the only purpose of that situation arising in our life is to help us heal. And once we do that, then the situation just goes away. And this is very practical. We teach this for people in business.
Mm-hmm.
All of this stuff is going on in every business in the land, and that accounts for all the conflict and everything else that goes on in business that causes them to go downhill and to get into big trouble is because people are using the environment of the business to create conflicts that are there simply for us to use as healing mechanisms or healing opportunities, but we don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
We just make everybody wrong and then start getting political and doing all sorts of crazy things.
Yeah, so I'm hearing that phrase we're all familiar with, what you resist persists.
Yes, exactly.
It It really does. And, you know, there's something that is coming up, Colin, that is that sometimes, particularly when it comes to things like elections or when, let's say, there's some intense anger or upset about an unjust experience like murders and terrorism, or just when, let's say, someone hates their boss, or there's a divorce that's extremely acrimonious, situations like that where people are not forgiving, not even considering forgiveness. And there's even a sense sometimes of my power lies in my righteousness. My power lies in my upset.
Exactly. Yeah, because it gets the support of most of society, unfortunately, right now. Instead of what the force says, if I'm quoting it rightly, that my power lies in my vulnerability. Right? Isn't that what it says?
Yes. In my defenselessness, my safety lies.
Yeah. So, you know, the society unfortunately supports it. The unfortunate thing about the word forgiveness is that the normal use of the word is not the same as what is given in the Course in Miracles or in my version of it, which is the radical forgiveness, because even though people say that they've forgiven, they really haven't, because they've maintained their story of victimhood. And they say, I'm trying to forgive you, but you still did that to me. I'm still a victim. So it really doesn't work for hardly anybody. And that's why most people feel it's so difficult. Whereas with what I try to do with radical forgiveness, we make it so easy that people do it almost by default. It just happens if they just do that darn worksheet. It happens almost immediately because it activates that part of us that really knows the truth, that nothing wrong ever happened. And therefore, there's nothing to forgive, because it was all meant to be that way. And that applies to exactly the same to events happening in the world out there, where people are getting killed, and you know, horrible abusive things are going on in the world, trafficking, slavery. That's a big topic here in England right now. Modern slavery. All of that, it seems to be terrible. But if we are true to our belief about true forgiveness, then we have to say it has to be perfect. It has to be what Spirit wants us to see in order for us to change our mind about what is real. And that's the essence, really, of the Radical Transformation Worksheet, is coming to be able to look at what's going on in the world and say, even though I don't understand it, even though I don't know what the reason is or what Spirit is has in mind, I have only one choice, and that's to see it as being exactly what needs to happen. And for me to get engaged in it in a way that would change the consciousness that created it in the first place. Because it's not just happening. We are creating it. Whatever is happening in the world is an expression of our consciousness. And we're all complicit in that, all of us. Nobody's immune from it. Mm-hmm. But we can bring it to mind that is a possibility, that we just have to change our minds about it, and everything will then change as a consequence of it. And the more we try to struggle against it, the more it persists, and the more we give energy to it, and so on and so forth. So it's a choice that we have to make. It's not an easy one, though.
It's true. And one of the issues many people have when they come to A Course in Miracles is understanding this responsibility. So I'm because one of the main teachings of A Course in Miracles is I am responsible for what I see.
Exactly.
So if we have collective responsibility, we have individual responsibility, we're all one, so it's really the same thing. And this is very, very challenging for some people to grasp, this idea that how could I be to blame for what's happening in the world when I don't feel like I have anything to do with it.
Yeah. We see the problem there is that word responsibility, it does connote blame, and that's the trap there. We are responsible in the sense that we have created this experience for a spiritual reason, not just for me, but for everybody else that's involved in this situation. So I am responsible for having created it, but I am holy, to use your words, really. It's a holy act for me to have created this so that it provides the opportunity for us all to heal. So it's a very different way of thinking about responsibility. I have created this for a purpose, and I'm, you know, that's just the way it is. I don't know how I've done this. It's just occurring, but I am co-creating with spirit every experience that happens in my life and out there as I experience it. So we have a four-step process. I know we've talked about this before, and the first step is to say, look what I've created. That's to take responsibility, but it's also to recognize that this is what was meant to happen. And I'm being guided to create this situation for a purpose, even though I don't know what that purpose is in my mind, because my mind is not adequate to understand it. But my spirit knows, my higher self knows what it's all about. So that's the first step. Look what I created. And then I notice my judgments and my feelings and love myself anyway, so that's step number two. But then step number three is the radical forgiveness step, where we say, well, I'm willing to see the perfection in this situation. Even though I don't understand it, I'm willing to see the perfection in the situation. And then fourth step, I choose peace. And we have found that that's one of the most profound processes that if people just learn it, and apply it every time something happens in their life that they see as being wrong or bad or painful, they say to themselves, wow, look what I've created. I notice my judgments and love myself anyway. I'm willing to see the perfection in this situation, and I choose peace. Something happens energetically right there and then to move people beyond this idea that they are to blame for it. I hate that notion, because it's just another way of projecting on oneself instead of projecting it on somebody else. Now we project it on ourselves and blame ourselves for doing something, quote, wrong, where it's not that at all. We're doing something right, even though it doesn't look like it.
Yes, and I find that in this process, what helps me so much is to be looking for the loving choices. In this moment, what is the loving choice for me now? Given what is the loving choice for me now? And loving myself, is it kind to myself to allow myself to be angry and filled with hatred and to be stirring other people to agree with me?
Absolutely. Righteousness.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the heart math people at all?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they tell us that scientists have proven that when we, like we did at the beginning of this class, place our hand on our heart and take some breaths, and for 90 seconds go into our heart in that kind of a prayerful, meditative, heart-opening moment, that we literally boost our immune system for 6 hours.
Yeah.
And conversely, when we get upset, we depress our immune system for 6 hours.
Yeah.
And so we can always turn it back around, flip it, as often as we like. So just looking at this process of healing and radical transformation, starting with, well, what's the most self-loving choice?
Right. Yeah. I tend to move that towards the end. I don't start with that, what's the most loving choice.
Right.
What I start with is this a good time to go through the worksheet real quickly, go through the steps?
I was just going to say, let's do that, yes.
Yeah. So the Radical Transformation Worksheet starts out box number one, and you would write into this. what is happening in the world now that disturbs me is. And so you would write about Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and the mud wrestling that's going on there. And so it's disturbing you. Okay. Number two is the feelings I'm experiencing about this situation include. Now, I give a number of different feelings because a lot of people are not very much in touch with their feelings and don't know what they're feeling. Mm-hmm. So you can check the box. Fear, anger, helplessness, apathy, panic, anxiety, aloneness, hopelessness, abandonment, betrayal, despondency, and so on, other feelings. So that's the step number two of saying, this is what I'm feeling about this situation. Okay. And then usually on the other worksheet, too, I would put, you know, and I'm entitled to these feelings, and these feelings are authentic, and, you know, I'm okay with that. On this worksheet, though, number three is I'm noticing my automatic knee-jerk reactions to this situation. And this is what we normally go into. First thing we normally do is lay blame. And then we want to punish people. Then we want to get something done about it. We need to change the system, change something, complain, be right, scream, go fix it myself, demonstrate, declare war, get revenge. So these are the what I call the knee-jerk reactions to a situation that we naturally make because we're human beings. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. And then I encourage people to write down the ones that they've just checked and any others that come to mind. The next step is now we're moving towards being a bit more reflective about this. If I had infinite power and authority over the situation, I would, and then you put down the kind of things that you would do if you had infinite power. If you were a dictator or something, you know, and you could do anything you wanted, what would you do? So that gives you a thought process about the situation, go deeper into it. What would you do if you were faced with this? Okay. And then in number five, it says, in spite of my initial feelings, and you look at what you've done in number two, and my knee-jerk reactions in number three, the actions I can take that might make a practical difference is to, and this is where we might send money or we go actually out there and, you know, move bricks if it's been an earthquake or something, write a letter to somebody, volunteer, become a whistleblower, and so on. So this is the practical element that I was talking about earlier, where you can actually go out and make a difference. However, this is where it starts to change. This is where it transforms. Number six, however, what I know I can do, in addition to the above, even if it's nothing that will make a big difference energetically, is to read out loud the radical forgiveness invocation plus the proclamations that follow. So this is the equivalent of really what you did at the top of the program. It's the prayer. It's that affirmation or the proclamation that even though I don't know why this is happening, I don't know what Spirit's purpose is, but I'm willing to go there and be in that space. So the radical forgiveness invocation, if I may read it, goes like this. May we all stand firm in the knowledge and comfort that all things are now, have always been, and forever will be in divine order, unfolding according to a divine plan. And may we truly surrender to this truth, whether we understand it or not. May we also ask for supporting consciousness in feeling our connection with the divine part of us, with everyone and with everything, so that we can truly say and feel we are one. So that's the invocation, and if that is read often enough by enough people, it will shift the energy around whatever the situation is that's upsetting us. That's my belief or assumption anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then in number seven, having read the above radical forgiveness invocation, I now realize that what is occurring out there is perfect just the way it is and all part of the divine plan. And then you're invited to check willing, open, skeptical, or unwilling. So there's some participation here. By the way, these worksheets mm-hmm. always have to be read out loud for them to be effective because your spiritual intelligence is really mediated through the body. So mm-hmm. your body wants to feel the resonance of these words. Then in number eight, it says, in being willing to see it this way, I'm opening the way for myself and others to awaken to the truth, and that by holding the vision of a healed world, I am making a huge contribution to facilitating a shift in consciousness where such situations as in box one have no further need to occur. Willing, open,
yes.
Skeptical, unwilling. And then number nine, I hereby declare that I'm willing to hold this higher vibration and to resist all temptation in the future to react to events with fear and despondency. Whenever I feel myself slipping back into fear, I'm taking six deep breaths in order to bring myself back to my center and maintain my vibration. So we've brought it to a place of accepting that there is a perfection in the situation. Now we bring it back to ourselves in number 10. I realize now, too, that what was happening out there was a reflection of something that needs or needed to be healed in me. What it may be mirroring for me is or was, and you write in there what you think it might be mirroring. And then finally, in number 11, in forgiving the situation in box one, I have automatically forgiven myself. I am grateful for the healing. And 12, I am centered now and have released the need to continue feeling what I was feeling in two above, and I choose peace. So that's the Radical Transformation worksheet. And like all other worksheets, they work energetically. They're not mediated through the mind, even though we're speaking those words mentally, but physically as well. But it's activating our spiritual intelligence, and it's going out there as a thought form that has a lot of power to change the world and to change the situation that we find so upsetting.
And it really works. People have told me that they find these worksheets incredibly helpful. And
yeah.
In a moment, we're going to let people know how they can get them. But before we do that, I just would like to say that as we're going through this process, going back to what we were saying earlier, Colin, about how sometimes people cannot find the thing in themselves that they're projecting out. So it's something disowned in themselves, but they still aren't aware of it. By going through this worksheet, having the willingness to do the healing, to forgive, to release the attachments to the judgments, the opinions, the point of view, and to participate in being that healing presence in the world, then even if I believe that even if, or I know, I should say really more accurately, I know that even if we haven't identified or our ego hasn't been willing to let us identify what it is that's disowned, it will be healed whether we recognize it or not.
Absolutely. And it's essential that we don't get caught up in trying to analyze it and find out what it is, because that only just takes you back into ego stuff anyway. And the worksheet does it for you. That's the whole point about doing these worksheets. And I didn't discover this for a long time until when I first did the worksheets. I didn't know that they had this effect energetically. As I observed people using them and seeing the change coming about in them and in myself, I realized that these worksheets had some sort of energetic power. It's not magical, it's just energetic. I'm sure the quantum physicists could tell us how it works, but I can't. But the truth is, as you have said, you know, it we don't need to figure it out. In fact, it's a waste of time and effort, and I think counterproductive to try to figure it out, because many times what is being mirrored for us is something that's so deeply buried in our unconscious that we would never discover it.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to accept it, that that's what's happening,
mm-hmm.
or at least be open to accepting it. I always say you don't have to believe this stuff. Just try it.
Exactly.
Know?
Yeah, and one of the things I feel so grateful that I realized, Colin, is that if we're trying to understand things, if we're trying to figure them out, then we're not actually in tune with spirit, because
right.
From a spiritual perspective, we already know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, and it's just, and the ego will never know, so.
Mm-hmm. I would say, that, you know, the question
error.
Why is the victim's question anyway. You know, why me?
Mm-hmm.
It's a victim's
mm-hmm.
question, so, you know, don't ask it, you know. The acceptance is the key for me, That's what it's all about, really, is total acceptance of what is as is. And which is really, for me, the definition of love. It's accepting things the way they are, as the way they are, as because they're meant to be, and that's how Spirit wills them to be right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So you have the Radical Transformation Worksheet, which is so helpful to apply to being upset or bothered by world events. And you have the Radical Forgiveness Worksheet, which applies to so many other things. Do you have any other worksheets?
Oh, we have lots of them and programs as well, online programs. But the worksheets are self-forgiveness, self-acceptance, accepting another person as the way they are, Radical Manifestation Worksheets, we have Radical Grieving, what else do we have? Oh, we have them online as well, so not only are they on paper, you can do them on the computer if you want to as well. We have online programs for forgiving your parents and other people like that. Radical Money, because there's nothing that upsets people more than money. There's plenty of opportunities to do healing work around money, and manifestation, of course, radical manifestation. So all of these are available on our website, radicalforgiveness.com, and they're free.
Yes. Such a wealth of resources, and people always tell me how grateful they are that they found you and that they can start using these really life healing and life changing tools right away. They're so simple and so profoundly helpful. And one of the things I'd like people to know that you offer are you also offer trainings for, I like to call them light workers or lightpreneurs who are interested in doing coaching and doing this kind of transformational work. If we could just talk about that for a minute, because
there
are so many people who would like to have a spiritual career. And I know how powerful your trainings are and how beautiful they are, even if people don't want to have a spiritual career. So I
Yes, a lot of people actually do take the training simply because they want to go deeper into it and become more adept at it from their own point of view, and then share it with their friends and family. There's a lot of people who do that, and there's also a lot of people who, while they have other jobs, take on this role as I call them luminaries, or spiritual teachers, and just want to spread the word as a part-time venture, if you like. And some people make a really good business out of it because it can be very lucrative if it's done right. And that's a big part of how we train people, is to make a business out of it, so that it's not just you going out there, trying to make a dollar or two, but that you can make a living and really help a lot of people if you really apply yourself to it. So there are several ways to do the training. And for quite a long time, we've had it, all the training, as being an online course and at two levels. One is the Radical Living Coach, which is a relatively lightweight course in that it simply gives you the skill to teach other people how to use the worksheets and the tools, which is an incredible skill, really, because that's, you're giving them a huge gift. But it takes a certain sensitivity and a willingness to, help people come to an understanding of what these worksheets are actually saying. And then at the next level up from that, once you've done that level, is to become what we call the Radical Living Master Coach, which goes much deeper into the processes of that we use to help people heal their past and heal what's going on in their life and so on. It just takes people to a much deeper level. And those are the two courses that we offer right now, and they can be done online. But I have recently discovered, because people kept asking me, the material online is great, but I still like the one-on-one or the direct teaching. Will you do live trainings? And so 2 years ago I started doing them, and now there's quite a demand for them. I do a 10-day training, pretty intensive, but it takes you to the master coach level within those 10 days. Plus, there are some other assessment things you have to do afterwards. But the 10 days really gives you the bulk of the training, and of course, it's all done in 10 days rather than over a longer period where you're studying online and taking months to do it. So that's become very popular. And the next one for us is January the 27th. I think it's January the 27th in Atlanta. No, wait a minute. The 31st. It is preceded by a workshop on the 27th to the 29th, which I call the Radical Forgiveness Solution Workshop. And that actually is a great workshop to take prior to the training because it gives you a lot of the background to it as well. So January, if you wanted to really, really get into it, January the 27th right through to the 9th of February in Atlanta, Georgia.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. I've just come back from Ukraine and just done 16. There were 16 in the group in the Ukraine. It's the first time we've been there. We've been in Russia three times, and we've got we had 32 in each of the trainings in Russia. I've handed it over to the Russian guy this time. He's doing it next week, actually. He's doing it on his own without me, and I've trained him, and he's doing great. And of course, he'll do it in Russian, so it saves them having to do the interpretation, which always slows you down a little bit. The training has become very popular, and in Peru, we did 30-odd people down in Peru, and they're all doing great down there. And it's exciting.
That's amazing.
I love doing that.
Yes.
It's a great – I just love to teach, and we have a great time and a lot of fun, and make a lot of progress.
It's powerful, and it is – the most effective way I know to change the world is to change our minds about it, and to do these kinds of trainings and immerse ourselves is deeply, deeply healing and transformational and well worth it. It's hard to imagine how much transformation and healing you can have when you're looking at it from the outside, but once you get inside, it's extraordinary because as you probably know, I do similar kinds of things, and I just highly recommend anybody who's feeling inspired or called to investigate to follow through on your intuition and take it a step further. And believe me, if it's your calling, Spirit will lead you and guide you and provide everything that you need for you to be able to do this divine work in the world.
And I expect you have probably experienced the same, but, you know, compared to 20 years ago, the people are now ready for this stuff. It's not difficult anymore to convince people that there is this alternative way of looking at the world. You know, 20 years ago, people go, what, are you crazy? But now people are saying, yeah, I know, I feel that. Thank you for putting words to it or something to that degree. You know, people are really feeling it out there in the world. And so people who are able to teach it, even to the point where all they need to do is to show them the worksheets, will have a profound effect on the consciousness of the planet. I'm convinced of it now. So it's such rewarding work, and people who do the training and then go out there and start doing teaching classes and things like that and showing people how to do the worksheets, they are so rewarded, they're so fulfilled. You know, they feel they're making a difference, and that's, to me, when I observe people, you know, who in the workshops go through an awakening, when they get to that point of having awakened, their urge to make a difference in the world becomes paramount. They want to be of service.
Yep.
And that's what we allow people to learn how to do with this work, because it's not difficult. It's not rocket science. Anybody can really understand radical forgiveness. And that's what I love to do.
You know, I'm just going to add one more thought on top of that, Colin, and then we'll close out here with a prayer. And that is that In my own work of training spiritual counselors, the first thing that people have to eliminate is a sense of unworthiness. Who
Absolutely.
Am I? To help other people when I still have issues that are unresolved.
Absolutely.
And just because we have unresolved issues does not mean that we cannot be a healing presence in this world. And the greatest spiritual teachers I know are often people who are still working through very intense things.
Yeah.
So,
if they weren't, then they wouldn't be spiritual teachers.
Right, and this idea that somehow you have to be able to levitate and walk on water before you can be a spiritual coach or a counselor or a teacher is just ego. It's pure ego, and we don't need to entertain it anymore.
That's right. I agree.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, wow. I'm so grateful. This is such a wonderful help to people. I'm encouraging everybody to go to ColinTipping.com or it's RadicalForgiveness.com.
RadicalForgiveness.com. RadicalForgiveness.com is for the worksheets and everything. I do have a ColinTipping.com under construction right now for doing special days with me, but that's not up yet. So radicalforgiveness.com for all the resources that we've been talking about, and that's you're going to get everything you want from there.
Yes, and I also just I would like to point out that Colin is a prolific writer, and in addition to Radical Forgiveness, Radical Self-Forgiveness, Radical Manifestation, and other books, there's also Expanding into Love, which is particularly about relationship healing, because I know that's something a lot of people are interested in transforming is their relationships. So Colin has all these resources and all these books. I encourage you to really sign up for his email list and check out all those resources and get your free downloads there.
Thank you, Jennifer.
And yes, thank you. Thank you, Colin. Thank you for being such a resource and a light in the world. Thank you for following your guidance, doing your own inner transformation so that you have so much to share with us.
Right.
And with that, I am going to speak a word of prayer and seal it all in here. So.
Okay.
I'm inviting everyone to take their hand and place it on their heart once again. And what we're doing here is we're not just paying lip service to spirit and to being a loving presence, a healing presence in the world. We are wholeheartedly available to find the loving choices, know the loving choices, to be a loving presence. And we consciously partner up with the higher Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in every moment. We're receiving a divine download and direction, and we don't have to figure things out. We don't have to analyze them. We are moving inspired by pure spirit to be that compassionate, healing, loving presence in our life, in our workplace, in our relationships, even with our cellular structure of our body temple. We are grateful and thankful to change our mind about the world and to see things in a truly helpful way. We are grateful and thankful to share the benefits of our loving life with everyone because we are one with them. In gratitude, we allow our healing to be, and so it is. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
God bless you, Colin. Thank you.
You too, my dear. You carry on doing the great work that you're doing out there. It's wonderful.
Thank you. I will. You too. God bless.
Okay. Yeah, bless you.